Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Robert, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here. No wonder why. Okay, no wonder perfect. I couldn't talk to you because I was still muted. Okay.
All right, give me one second here.
All righty.
Maybe we should be able to go live here in a minute.
Okay.
I think Joe was doing a show earlier. I'm not sure if he's still if he's still live or what.
What kind of does. Joe do shows on Blog Talk?
Not on Blog Talk, on YouTube. Yeah, he's still live doing some kind of show. He's got like 8 people in there.
Oh, okay. I wonder what he's doing.
I don't know. It says, will Tyson Fury go through with the Dillian White fight? That's his topic.
I think he will because he's with that purse bid, he's going to get $32 million. Why wouldn't he?
Why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean,
pretty
come
quick.
On.
There you
I
go.
Mean, that, that,
topic over.
That's a symbol. Come on.
I mean, he does have a tendency to slide out of fights, man, but for $32 million, he ain't going nowhere, son. He ain't going nowhere for that much money.
I got to give him credit. Since he came back from his mental problems, I don't think he's walked away from a fight, so... You know, maybe we can't say that about him anymore, you know?
Yeah. All right, so here's how it's going to work. We're going to do the AFC first, and we'll do the NFC.
Right.
The AFC championship, I'll give like a brief synopsis of it or whatever. We'll kind of go back and forth, and then we'll go offense, who has the edge here, who has the edge in defense, special teams, and then we got the X factor, of course, and then we'll give a prediction.
Okay.
And then the same thing on the the NFC.
Yeah. All right.
And we'll do a prediction.
Okay. Piece of cake.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think in about a half hour or so.
Yeah, no, I did this on Tuesday, so I'm prepared. We had to do it for our show, so.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. All right, well, let me see here. Are you ready to go?
Ready.
All right. All right, here we go. All right, guys, we are live here with the AFC-NFC preview show. I tell you what, I know we usually talk boxing on here. I'm here with my I'm Eric Lorton. I'm here with ringside Robert. Robert, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. And like I was just telling Eric on the regular Tuesday podcast that I do, we did this kind of thing on Tuesday's show, so I'm already prepared for this to break it down for you guys and hopefully give you guys some good football content.
There you go. There you go. All right, so let's break it down, man. We're going to start with the AFC Championship first. It's the Cincinnati Bengals versus the Kansas City Chiefs. It'll take place Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern. Kansas City is anywhere from 7 to a 7.5-point favorites. Surprises me. I mean, it kind of doesn't. It kind of doesn't. I get where they're coming from, but a touchdown, man, that's a big spread in an AFC championship game. The over-under for this game, 54.5, which I'll be honest with you, I think it takes the over. I really do. I think both teams got enough firepower. I think it goes over, but hey, what do I know?
Well, in other words, I don't think there'll be any defense in this game. I agree with you.
I tell you what, I don't know how there can be a defense in this game. I mean, as far as, Kansas City goes, their defense has been awful the last couple of weeks. I got to be honest, man.
Look at last week's game, man. I mean, Buffalo was able to go up and down the field and do whatever they wanted
with no problems, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They just went up. They at will just went up and down that field with no issues.
Nope.
But now Buffalo had the best defense in the league, supposedly. I guess numbers-wise, they didn't play like it. You know, that was not the 85 Bears defense out there against the Chiefs last week.
No.
But, you know, they have a fairly good defense, but they were just, I mean, listen, man. Everybody, you know, a lot of people were upset that Buffalo lost a game, you know, last week. If you can't hold a team for 13 seconds, what did they start on, the 25 or something like that?
I mean, yeah, when you kick it off and it goes in the end zone, you automatically start at the 25. So Patrick Mahomes took his team 75 yards in 13 seconds, you know, pretty, you know. Or actually, no, he took like 50 yards, so they set up a field goal. They scored the touchdown
right.
in overtime. That's right, yeah. So, you know.
I mean, look, man, if you can't stop a team in 13 seconds to win the game, then you don't need to be in the championship game. It just is what it is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And people in Buffalo, Eric, will remember that for decades because, as you know, for those that don't follow football on a regular basis, Buffalo went to four straight Super Bowls in the 90s and didn't win one
right.
of them. So, you know, it's like...
That's like that, you know, didn't Minnesota do that as well? Minnesota did that as well, didn't they? They went to like...
Well, Minnesota went to four Super Bowls in the 70s, but not four in a row, but they didn't win
right.
They didn't win a Super Bowl either, so, yeah.
Right.
But no, Buffalo is the 21st century's version of the Minnesota Vikings. Except Buffalo did it worse. They went to four consecutive Super Bowls and didn't win a thing. And they had much better players then than what they do now. They had a Hall of Famer, Jim Kelly and Bruce Smith and several other people that have made the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and they never won a Super Bowl. So the people in Western New York are going to be living this for decades.
I'll tell you, the best chance that the Bills ever had to win that Super Bowl was that first time they were there against the Giants.
Absolutely. And
when they played the Giants.
Yeah, and Scott Norwood went wide right. He could have won the game for them. Yeah.
And didn't they just smashed the Raiders in that championship game.
Buffalo, when they beat
the Raiders, I mean, man, I mean, they went up a score. I was like, there's no way the Giants are going to beat this team, man. And they kept it close. That defense just kept it close and kept it close and – There you go, man.
Well, back when
but
Bill
that was
Parcells,
your best chance.
Back when Bill Parcells was the coach of the Giants, he built a top-notch defense. That's when they had Lawrence Taylor and people like that to take care of them. And the Giants always kept their games close. They weren't known for blowing people out because their defense would not allow teams to score. That you know, so
right.
Yep.
Yeah, so I tell you what, man, so with 13 seconds left, man, Buffalo doesn't make it. And, you know, I think it's just a kind of a testament to that Kansas City offense. I mean,
yep.
They got weapons. They could turn that game on in a heartbeat. And I was at the game. I was at the Cincinnati game, the Kansas City game, a couple of weeks ago, January 2nd. And Tyreek Hill is just amazing. That guy is so fast. You know, I mean, he hits him in stride. He hits him. That guy can catch the ball in stride. He can catch it and run. He just is able to move the ball, and he's a threat. Every time he gets the ball, he's a threat, you know.
Well,
Travis Kelce, Cincinnati guy.
He's
another guy that can score, you know. They got a lot of weapons over there.
But that's why Patrick Mahomes is considered the best quarterback in football now because of people like Kelce and Hill and the running backs that they have. Their offense is top-notch. If their defense ever matched their offense, nobody would ever beat the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, let's just call it like we see it. If their defense
ever came up to the
quality of their offense, they would never lose.
Well, let's talk about that defense real quick, man, because they got shredded last week. I mean,
yep.
They got shredded. And let's go back even a couple more weeks ago to January 2nd when they were here in Cincinnati. They jumped out to a 14-0 lead. Chiefs jumped out to a 14-0 lead, man. And, you know, I'm watching this, and I'm like, oh, man, you know. And I tell you, you know, watching them in person is so much – I mean, they're such a fast team. Kansas City is such a fast team. But that secondary – got shredded in that game. What did Jamar Chase put up like, I don't know how many yards in that game. fantasy. I think he had like 55 fantasy points, which just tells you like that guy was killing them.
Well, that's why he's going to win Rookie of the Year. You know.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But that defense was awful that game. And let me tell you what. Let me tell you what Cincinnati did in that game on the second is they made the adjustments at halftime, right? They made adjustments at halftime, and they shut them down. They completely shut down that Chiefs offense in that second half. Everybody's talking about Burrow. Everybody's talking about Chase and Boyd and Higgins. Everybody's talking about that Cincinnati offense. To me, the key to this game is that Cincinnati defense because that's what shut them down a couple of weeks ago. They got shut down in that second half. And that's to me, that's what's that's really what won the game. It really is.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But remember,
so,
both coaches, both Zach Taylor and Andy Reid, have that film from a couple of weeks ago. And I'm sure all this week through practice, both coaches have pulled out that film and figured out, okay, this is what we did right, this is what we did wrong, and you might see a completely different setup when these two teams play tomorrow.
We might. We might. But that being said, they shredded that secondary a couple of weeks ago in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
That secondary got shredded again last week.
That's correct. So.
How much changes? Listen, I mean, here's the deal. Listen, there's only so many changes you can make with the personnel.
Oh, I agree.
You know what I mean? If, if you have, I mean, the personnel is who you have is who you have.
That's right.
And you know, there's only so many changes you can do. So I think it's going to be interesting. You know, let's break down, let's break down offense, defense, everything like that, man. I think that, and like who has the edge, and you tell me what you think, and I'll tell you what I think, man. I think the Bengals have a ton of weapons. Again, you got Burrow, you got Mixon, you got Jamar Chase. T. Higgins is another one. Tyler Boyd, C.J. Uzama, he's an underrated tight end picking up in the play in the postseason. That being said, man, Kansas City just—they're just so fast. You know, Tyreek Hill—if he turns it on at the right moment. Again, somebody in the JC in the chat said about his acceleration, man. It's just crazy.
Well, and not,
really
not only
Tyreek
that,
Hill,
when Kansas City falls behind, if you notice, Andy Reid will put Tyreek Hill back to return kickoffs. So what does that tell you? They're not afraid to use him anywhere on the football field. You know?
He's dangerous anywhere they put him, man. I tell you what, anywhere they put him, that guy is just dangerous. Travis Kelce is another one that's just dangerous anywhere you put him. Product of UC, by the way. You know, he went to the University of Cincinnati.
Yep.
To me, Patrick Holmes, he has the experience. Kansas City has the experience. They've been in the big games.
Yes,
Bengals aren't
have.
Used to this.
Nope.
Bengals are not used to this. I got to lean, for me anyway, I got to lean toward KC on the offensive side of the ball here.
I agree. Because there's nothing like playoff experience. And this is going to be a good learning experience for Zach Taylor, his coaching staff, and the entire Bengals roster. You know, if they can keep this roster together, and they need to build a better offensive line. Joe Burrow getting sacked 9 times against the Tennessee Titans, you don't normally win games like that when that happens. And look, if you don't have Joe Burrow, you don't win this game, okay? I mean, Joe Burrow is the reason why you are where you are. And you got to do a better job of protecting him. And, yeah, Kansas City is terrible defensively, but they do have a good pass rush. And I think that pass rush might be able to take advantage of the weakest part of your team, and that's the offensive line. So Joe Cool better be as cool as possible and get rid of the ball as fast as possible, because if he gets sacked like 5 or 6 times in this game, the Bengals are going to be in trouble. He's got to be able to throw the ball, and they've got to give him time.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that 100%. You know, again, you know, if you're questioning whether Burrow's the guy or not, listen, you could just go back to the last game we played in Cleveland. They sat him down last week. They sat him down and lost the game. So, listen, man, he's the guy. There's no question. And
look,
every time he
Joe
takes
Burrow.
A hit,
yeah.
Your heart is in your throat. If you're a Cincinnati fan, your heart is in your throat. Every time that guy takes a hit, because we remember what happened to him. He got injured. He was out. And now he's back. And now just protect this guy.
Yep. Hey, I saw Joe Burrow play my team twice this year, and he won both games. And so, you know, look, your best chance of winning in Cincinnati, you got to protect number 9, man. And you don't want to see him match
Absolutely.
His jersey number. You don't want to see him match his jersey number with the number of sacks. I have never seen I've never seen a quarterback do that. Get sacked 9 times and still manage to win the game. That's almost impossible.
Right. I mean, against the number 1 team. They're the number 1 AFC team right now. I mean, the Titans were the number 1, and to have that done and still win in spite of that, just incredible.
Yep.
Let's switch gears to the defense here. The Bengals defense to me is very underrated. They've been playing great in the playoffs, and even before that, the last couple of weeks, they have seemed to come together. They have seemed to gel a little bit better than they did in the regular season. They're kind of hitting on all cylinders right now to me. The Bills ran all over KC's defense last week. That secondary got shredded. Everybody got shredded over there. I mean, they just ran completely over that team. The Bengals defense, you know, the Bengals ran over KC far as, you know, they ran over their defense. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase had like a career day that day.
Yep.
You know, I got to say that the edge is definitely with Cincinnati here because Cincinnati has proved they could stop the Chiefs, not vice versa.
Yep. No, I would agree with that. I would totally agree with that. And keep one thing in mind as far as Kansas City's defense is concerned, their best defensive back, Tyrann Mathieu, he's not going to be able to play. He's injured. So that's going to make their secondary even worse. So you're going to see Cincinnati put Ja'Marr Chase anywhere where the substitute is taking his place. And Burrow, if he's given the time in the pocket, is going to be able to hit Chase all day if that's the case.
Yeah, and it's hard to imagine that secondary for Kansas City getting any worse.
Yeah.
I mean, it really
is.
It really is. My goodness.
Yep. Yep.
Special teams, to me, this is kind of an easy one for me anyway. Cincinnati kicker Evan McPherson, that guy has been on fire lately. Easy choice here. I got to go with Cincinnati. We're about to have his leg bronzed here in Cincinnati. I mean, this guy has been ice cold. Just ice cold, you know, in the playoffs, during the year, he's been money every time, man, every time.
I would make this even, Eric, because both kickers, Buckner for Kansas City has always done a very good job, and they both kickers can hit long field goals if necessary. I would between the kickers, I would call it about even because McPherson
money here, Max son
yeah
money McPherson here, baby.
I know. Well, hey, I would support him too. And remember, he was a 5th round draft choice, guys. I mean, normally when you draft a kicker in the draft, they don't normally survive training camp, and this kid walked in from the University of Florida and basically stole the kicking job, and basically has had a top-notch year for the Bengals. So, but you got to give respect to Buckner too. He's done it in the clutch, and I think the kicking game between the two kickers is pretty much even.
All right. So. The X factor now. What is it, the X factor here? What is it that gives the teams the advantage or disadvantage? I'm going to tell you what my X factor is.
Okay.
Cincinnati's offensive line, to me, is the X factor. This may be the worst offensive line that I've ever seen play. Certainly the worst offensive line that has ever gotten this far in the playoffs. They are really, really bad. Burrow was sacked 9 times against Tennessee. If he's sacked 9 times here, they're going to lose this game. Kansas City's too good for that. Kansas City will beat them if they sack him 9 times. That O-line also hinders that running game. You know, Joe Mixon gets yards in spite of the line. You know, they make catches in spite of that line. That line is awful. And if they don't gut that in the off season and just get rid of, like, you know, what, maybe every single player on that line.
That's correct.
You know, because I don't know anybody that really deserves. I don't know anybody who actually deserves to be in the NFL that's on that line. I'll be honest, man.
No, that's just a
horrible performance.
You and I are gonna agree on that one. That by far is the weakest offensive line I think I've seen ever make the playoffs ever. You know,
just brutally bad, bad, man.
And that's why I'm worried for Burrow's safety, because if he doesn't have the time to find his receivers, the Bengals will not be competitive.
Well, GC3 says last year's offensive line was actually probably the worst ever. Bobby Hart was starting. You know, you could say that again. That was I do stand corrected. That was pretty bad, too.
Okay.
Let me tell you what. Now, some of this, you know, now the offensive line gets a lot of, you know, gets a lot of heat, and rightfully so. However, Burrow should shoulder some of that heat as well, because he does have a tendency to hang on to that ball a little longer than he should.
Yeah,
but being sacked
nine
times, that's not all his fault. Okay.
No.
Some of those are coverage sacks. I get that. Not all of them are coverage sacks. Not even. Yeah, most of them are not coverage sacks.
If you get a coverage sack,
let me tell you what. If you get a coverage sack against Kansas City with their secondary, you know, I mean, give me a break. That's on you, son. I mean, you can't find somebody open in that secondary. Jeez.
No, one thing Joe has to work on, and I've noticed in the games I've watched, he does hang on to the ball too long. And in the NFL, you've got to get rid of the ball as soon as you see somebody open. You're not standing in a buffet line, you know, picking out food. You've got to get rid of the ball as soon as possible. So he does have to work on that.
He does. I tell you, you know, Patrick Mahomes, I noticed this in a Buffalo game, does a really good job when he's under pressure to just get rid of that ball.
That's right.
He gets rid of it fast. He does a good job. And I definitely give him, like I said, and I think that's more experience than anything else.
Uh-huh.
But he does. He does a great job when it comes to that.
Yep.
What about you? What are your X factors for this game?
Well, I agree with you as far as the offensive line. That is the weakness by far, because Kansas City, despite their bad secondary, has a good pass rush. And that's why I pointed out, Joe has to get rid of the ball quickly. He cannot hang on to it for too long. As soon as you see somebody open, you've got to throw the ball. That is the number one weakness that the Cincinnati Bengals have that Kansas City can take advantage of. And because of that, Joe Mixon is going to have difficulty running the ball. He might have more success catching the ball if Joe is given enough time to throw the ball. So it comes down to that.
Yeah, I think that Mixon's yards will come. But, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, you talk about all the receivers. I think you got to count Joe Mixon in there as well.
Right.
It's tough to get off that line. It's tough to run with that line. It just is.
Yeah.
All right, let's make our final predictions, and we're going to move on to the NFC Championship here. Here's the way it's going to go down, man. They've done this all year. They have done this all year. Cincinnati's a come-from-behind team, man. They have done this all year. And let me tell you, what's going to keep them in this game is the defense. They make the adjustments that they need at the right times. The defense will keep them in this game, and the defense will not pull a Buffalo. The defense will be able to stop KC when it's crunch time. I think the Bengals are going to win this game. I think it's close, but I think the Bengals win this game, and I think they're headed to the Super Bowl.
Okay, well, I've got to go with what I've already selected. I took Kansas City in this game. And even though I can't stand the Chiefs because they're a division rival of mine, they destroyed me twice this year. But, you know, experience wins out here, I think, and I think Kansas City will win a very close game. If you're going to bet the point spread, take the Bengals, because I don't think the Chiefs will cover this point spread.
Interestingly enough, what is Joe Burrow, 8-0 versus the spread?
I didn't know that, but okay.
I think he's 8-0 versus the spread, yep. 8-0 versus the spread. So if you're betting, bet the Bengals, man. Bet the Bengals and the points for sure.
Yeah, There you
as
go.
Far as the over-under goes, 54 is a lot of points, man. That's a lot of points.
Yeah.
But
you said,
last time these guys played, 65 total points.
Yeah, it was 34-31. So, yeah, I would definitely go over, you know.
I think I'd take the over, too. I think I probably would take the over, too. So I'm taking
the
Bengals. I think they're going to pull the upset. Robert, you're taking the Chiefs.
I'm taking the Chiefs. Now, by the way, if you go to overtime, Cincinnati will be the visiting team. Make sure you win the damn coin toss because you may never get the ball back.
I don't like those overtime rules, man. I mean, if it's going to be sudden death, let it be sudden death. But if not, then, I don't know.
I mean, that's the one bad part about that game last week. That game was so exciting, I didn't want it to end. And I knew as soon as Kansas City got the ball, I'm like, well, this is over because there's no way Buffalo was going to stop them. And they didn't, you know, it's like.
They didn't stop them in 13 seconds. You ain't going to stop them now, you know.
No.
Not when they got momentum.
No.
Jeez.
No. All right.
So I think we're headed for a shootout here, man. I really do.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the NFC Championship here. The San Francisco 49ers will be at the L.A. Rams, the Los Angeles Rams. It's going to take place at 6:30 Eastern in L.A. Rams are 3.5-point favorites, which kind of surprised me a little bit. The over-under for this is 45.5. Listen, man, the Rams are playing well right now, but they've been swept by the 49ers this season.
Well,
you know, that first game was 31-10 back in November. They played.
Uh-huh.
It was 31-10. They
right.
played again on January 9th. The Niners won 27-24. Is this just a case of the Niners, they've got their number this year?
Well, get this. Kyle Shanahan, in the last six meetings, and Kyle Shanahan is the coach of the 49ers. In the last six meetings against Sean McVay and the Rams, Kyle Shanahan is undefeated, 6-0. So, yeah, the 49ers have figured out something about the Rams. But remember, if the Rams can somehow win this game, they would become the first team in NFL history to actually be the home team and host the Super Bowl. Tampa Bay was listed as the road team last year, even though the game was listed in the game was played in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay was considered the road team. So for the first time,
why is that?
Because the NFL alternates. Last year it was the AFC's turn to be the home team. This year it's the NFC's turn to be the home team. So if the Rams win, they'll actually go in the record books as the very first team to host a Super Bowl in their own stadium.
That's kind of silly, though, because I'll be honest, man, like that's happened before. Tampa Bay hosted that Super Bowl. I don't care who they're – I mean, it's in their stadium.
Agree.
They're playing in their stadium.
You
know
I agree.
I mean? Not to mention,
you know,
when you remember back in the 80s when Frisco played, whatchamacallit, Miami?
Yeah,
they were playing
at
Stanford?
They played at Stanford.
Right,
and of course, the 49ers back then played at Candlestick Park. So, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you'll find
one thing
interesting.
That was a home game for them.
Yeah. You'll find one thing interesting. So far, I've been, because I live out here, close to where the Niners are, the 49er fans have bought most of the tickets in L.A. The Ram fans are having difficulty getting seats because the 49ers are going to take the 49er fans are going to take over SoFi Stadium.
All right, so did you hear? Okay, I don't know if you heard this or not, but when the tickets went on sale, and I think they put the kibosh on this real quick, but they wouldn't let anybody from San Francisco, you had to be in that county in L.A. to purchase tickets.
Well,
they wouldn't let
somehow
anybody purchase tickets, and this went on for a few days, and then they shot it down. Now, they did the same thing in Kansas City, but I think they did like a one-day or like an early release kind of thing where if you lived in the whatever county or whatever, you were good to go, you can buy tickets and everything, and that's the only way you could buy tickets. But it was like for one day. Now, Rams try to keep this up. Now, they said – I remember watching an interview from this game, from one of these games, that they said it was difficult to play there. It was in their stadium. There was a lot. I mean, so this place was packed with Niner fans.
Exactly. And from what I'm hearing, they're going to do it again tomorrow.
I got to be honest, man. Like, listen, I mean, like, you know, I live in Cincinnati, so, like, Pittsburgh is the big game here.
Right.
And there's a lot of – there's Pittsburgh fans that come in. They don't outnumber Bengal fans.
No.
They don't even come close. You know, I mean, it's not even close. It's, but it's like, how in the world can you have, like – I've always – you know, with the L.A., when the Rams, you know, had that big stadium and everything and they moved them to L.A., I never did think they had, like, a big fan base.
Yeah.
Do
well,
they have – I mean, you're out there. You know more than I do. Do they have that big of a fan base out there?
The Rams have a bigger fan base than the Chargers, but I find it funny whenever the 49ers play the Rams or the Raiders – you know, of course, the Raiders are in Las Vegas. Whenever the Raiders go play the Chargers in L.A., and next year they're scheduled to go to L.A. to play the Rams, whenever the Raiders go to L.A., the Raider fans fill that place up. When you turn on the TV, it's full of nothing but silver and black. The L.A. fans are non-existent when the Raiders are in town. It's awesome to see.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, it really is. Like, what on earth, man?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead and break down the offenses here, man. San Francisco, their big play guy, man, Deebo Samuel. He's been there all year, just been amazing all year.
Yes.
George Kittle and then Jimmy Garoppolo, man. Deebo Samuel has been great this year. He always seems to find a way to make that big play.
Yep.
My problem here is with George Kittle. Now, George Kittle has been very good at times this year. And he's been very streaky at times this year.
He's also been injured a lot, and I personally don't think he's 100% healthy.
I don't think he is either. I really don't. I mean, he has been – I mean, this is even from last year. I mean, he's been injured a lot. He's been injured a lot lately, man. Garoppolo, to me, has played good enough to keep winning. He makes a lot of mistakes at critical times, man.
Yeah.
I mean, critical times in the game, it's just like, what are you doing at time? You know, how popular, and you can speak to this more, can I, how popular is Garoppolo in San Francisco?
Because
I've heard rumblings that they want him out of there, that they want a new quarterback, but, you know, he's got him in the playoffs, so.
Well, remember, Jimmy Garoppolo has only, in 52 starts, he's only lost 15 games, and that's counting regular season and playoffs. And for some reason, the brass in San Francisco want him out of there. That's why they drafted the quarterback Trey Lance in the draft last year. But you know, I have a feeling that the fan base and the ownership and the coaches won't realize what they had until Jimmy is playing somewhere else. For some reason.
Yeah.
This guy didn't get any respect in New England, and now he's not getting any respect in San Francisco. I think somebody's eventually going to benefit for the 49ers making a mistake. And let me be totally honest here. I grew up a Raider fan around here when both teams were close by, and so I don't have any love lost for the 49ers. So as far as I'm concerned, anything bad that happens to them is fine with me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we lost to the 49ers twice in the Super Bowl, so yeah, I've got no love lost for that. There's no love lost here for the 49ers.
That's right.
The GOAT Mario P says Jimmy Garoppolo is trash. He'll probably be the reason the 49ers lose, although he did throw for over 300 last time they played the Rams.
Well, and keep one thing in mind. The Rams have a much better defense, and the only way that Garoppolo can throw for over 300 yards is if the defense somehow makes some kind of mistake, because you can count on Jimmy to make mistakes at critical times. So, you know.
Absolutely. Let's flip over to the L.A. side here, man. You want to talk about a show, man. I'll tell you what. This is they've got so much firepower on this side of the ball, man. Matt Stafford, Cooper Kupp, who's the best receiver in the NFL right now. No questions asked. That's the guy.
Yeah, I know.
Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah. I know
Tyler
he's
Higbee
not going to.
And Sony Michel.
Yep.
I tell you what. For here, you know, they've got too much firepower here, man. They got too much firepower on that Rams offense.
I know he's not going to win the MVP, but my God, Cooper Kupp should be the MVP of the National Football League. I know they're probably going to give it to Aaron Rodgers, and I think that sucks because by far Cooper Kupp has had the best year of any football player you might as well say in the entire NFL. I mean, defenses are designed to stop him, and he still finds a way to get open, you know? But
he's amazing. He really is. I mean, you cannot stop that guy. You know, you have to put, you have to double that guy. You know, there's no other way around it, man. Lisa says that Garoppolo's a game manager. He said he won't lose the game for you, but he won't win one for you either.
I agree with that.
He's solid.
Yeah, I totally agree with it. But no,
yeah.
You know what? I'm happy for Matthew Stafford. He played 12 long seasons in Detroit and never got to the playoffs. Or if he did, the Lions had no chance of winning. I am so happy for that guy that he was able to go to L.A. and he's now showing the rest of the NFL, hey, this is how good I've always been. I finally have a team I can actually take to the Super Bowl. And I think he's going to accomplish his goal, man.
I tell you, man, Matt Stafford, you know, the only thing that, you know, Matt Stafford is up and down, and Jimmy Garoppolo is up and down as well. But again, you know, it's both offenses are good. But if I had to lean toward, I think there's more weapons on the Rams side of the ball.
That is correct.
For sure. Let's go defense, man. I think defense here is a toss-up. Both teams got good defenses. San Francisco, I believe, is ranked above the Rams in defense. San Francisco is holding offenses to around 300 yards a game.
Yep.
They really are. But let me tell you what that equalizer is that pass rush.
Oh, my God.
LA. Aaron Donald. And yeah, right?
And remember, they went out and got Von Miller during the season, and that, that even
yes.
that even adds to the Rams' pass rush.
Yeah, that's a big one, man. That is a big one. So I think it's a toss up, but I think this could go either way. So I'm going to push this one. Who do you think has a better defense here?
Do you think LA
has a better one?
I think LA has a better defense because not only you have Aaron Donald and Von Miller rushing the passer, but you have Jalen Ramsey back there. He's one of the best defensive backs in the league, and he can stop. Deebo Samuel or George Kittle, whoever he's put on, and prevent them from having a good day. I give the edge to L.A. here.
Okay. Special teams, man. Robbie Gould is just solid under pressure, man. Solid. If the game's up on the line, man, this guy is another Evan McPherson, man. He's really, really solid. From the Bears, I'm going to give a nod to the 49ers here.
Yeah, you have to because Robbie's been doing it now for 15 or 16 years. And, you know, he's now watch me put the kibosh on him, but he's never missed a kick in the playoffs. He's perfect in the playoffs. Every time he's been there, he's made every kick that he's made in the playoffs. So definitely the edge has to go to the 49ers here.
Yeah. Let's talk about the X factor here. And for me, the X factor are the quarterbacks on both teams. Garoppolo has been known to make bad decisions and almost give games away at times.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just has. I don't know how happy they are with him in San Francisco. Like you said, he doesn't get, you know, he didn't get a lot of recognition in New England. He doesn't get it in San Francisco. I don't know why they don't like him. He seems to me, just like Lisa said, that he's a good game manager. He's able to, you know, he won't lose it. He reminds me a lot of like a Trent Dilfer. He's not going to lose the game for you. You know,
yeah.
He's going to get
but
you to where you need to be. He's not a dynamic quarterback either.
Yeah. But like she said, he's not going to lose it. I mean, he's not going to win it, but he can sure the hell lose it for you. So I don't – in the NFL playoffs, I don't know if you want a game manager to try to take you to the Super Bowl. You want somebody that has some guts back there and can make quick decisions. And, I don't know if Jimmy can do that under a pressure situation. If you remember 2 years ago, they were in the Super Bowl against Kansas City, and for three quarters they were beating the Chiefs because he was playing a good game. All of a sudden, in the fourth quarter, he decided to play it safe, and it ended up costing the 49ers the Super Bowl. So, I don't know. I think when
was that his fault, though? Was that his fault, or was that the coach's fault? I mean, he doesn't call the plays, does he?
Well, I don't know how – see, that's another thing. I don't know how much he's allowed to change plays at the line of scrimmage. I don't know if he's given the freedom to do that. It could have been Kyle Shanahan's fault, but, you know, that kind of sticks out to me. You win a game for three quarters, and then you go to the fourth quarter, and you totally change what you were doing. That might happen in a situation like this. If Kyle does not have any faith in his quarterback to win them the game, now, that could be a problem.
You know, and then we go back. I know we were talking about the Buffalo defense earlier with the 13 seconds. But, again, it wasn't the defense, you know, it wasn't the players on the field that decided to play that prevent, you know, with 13 seconds left.
No, it was the coach.
So that coaching staff, you know, has to shoulder a lot of that, too. And just like, you know, for that, in that fourth quarter, they got to shoulder a lot of that, too. I don't think Garoppolo's calling the plays for the coordinators, you know, or the coaches.
Yeah, no. So
let's talk about Matt Stafford now. And he's had a good couple of weeks, but this is another guy who's very streaky. I mean, it's almost like when he gets in a slump, he can't come out of it. It's tough to bring him out of it during that game. And I tell you what, man, he's one of those ones that you're just kind of – he's either going to bring you to the moon or he's going to take you down in flames.
Eric.
He's either great or he's on the other side, you know.
Yeah, my God, Eric, can you imagine a game where they're both playing badly? Who do we give the edge to when they're both playing badly here? I mean, that could happen. If both quarterbacks are doing badly, who the hell's going to win this game? You know?
Yeah, well, somebody in the chat predicted it was going to be a low-scoring game, that this one would be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I have a feeling it might be. I have a feeling it might be, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell you, you know, so for you, what are the X factors in this game?
I think the 49ers, one of their best tackle, Trent Williams, may or may not play tomorrow night. And if that's the case, the defense is going to be able to take advantage of that. Jimmy may not have much time to do anything but make mistakes. That could be that could be something that the Aaron Donald and company could take advantage of. So that's something to watch out for, because he's questionable whether he's going to be able to play tomorrow. And if the left tackle, which protects your quarterback's blind side, is not going to be able to play, and he's one of the best in the NFL, that could be a weakness that the Rams could definitely take advantage of. So watch out for that. That's an X factor that you need to pay attention to when you watch this game tomorrow night.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to our predictions here for this game. I think that, you know, I'll tell you, as streaky as Matt Stafford's been, the one person on the team that hasn't been streaky is Cooper Kupp.
Yep.
That receiver has always found a way to make those big plays. And with Sony Michel coming in there, I think it's difficult to beat a division rival three times in a season. It really is.
I don't think it's ever been done. I'd have to research that, but I don't think it's ever been done where the same person has won the game three times.
I believe it has.
Okay.
I believe it has, but, you know.
Yeah.
But it's they're few and far between, put it that
right.
way.
Right.
So it's going to be difficult. It really is. It's going to be difficult for that to happen. I'm going to lean toward the Rams here. I think that, you know, with Cooper Kupp, with Sony Michel, they're at home. I just think they're going to find a way to pull this out. And I think this is a close one, too. I really do. Because the Niners, again, you cannot count them out. Deebo Samuel is another one of those guys that, you know, he finds a way to make the big play, finds a way to keep them in, but he's not going to let you lose. And that's what we're dealing with these two receivers here.
Yep.
So I tell you, this is a close game. This is a close game. I think for me, you got to go with I got to lean toward LA in this game.
Yep.
As much as I hate to, but I think I got to lean toward LA in this game, man. I think they just got a little bit more firepower on that offense. I think that pass rush, and again, if those guys on that offensive line aren't 100% on Frisco, it could be a long day for them. So.
Yeah. No, I'm also going to take the Rams, and if you're going to bet this game, I think this is going to be a close game. So the only thing I would bet here, you know, I would take the under. I don't think it's going to be very high scoring. They've got it listed at 45. I don't think it's going to get 45 points. I think it's going to be like a 21 to 17, something around that line. You know, I think it's going to be very low scoring. But if it is higher scoring, that means one of the teams have turned the ball over or a major mistake is made. But going into it, I think it's going to go under the total of 45.
I would agree with that. And I wouldn't bet – I tell you what, I would not bet the points at all. I mean,
no.
You know, it's just one of those games. This game could go either way, but I think it's going to probably fall in the under category.
Yep.
So Mario P, the GOAT Mario P, said if Stafford plays well, then the Rams will win fairly easily. But honestly, you know, and that's a good point, but honestly, I thought they played well a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, they did.
You know what I mean? I thought they played well a couple of, you know, back on January 9th, they were up 17-0 at the half and ended up losing that game.
Yeah, and I don't know what the hell happened at halftime. They had that game in full control. And whatever they did in the second half, I don't know what the hell happened, but that's why
they didn't do anything in the second half.
Yeah,
you know, they didn't make any adjustments. Clearly,
well, that's why when it comes to the coaches, if you're matching up the coaches here, you got to give the edge to Kyle Shanahan because he's a better adjuster at halftime. Sean McVay has been terrible at making adjustments. Look at the game against Tampa Bay last week. They were up 27-3, and they almost allowed Tampa Bay to come back and win that thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and, they, you know, listen, man, they could jump out to a lead, but that doesn't mean anything in L.A.'s case. You know, it really doesn't. And I don't know. That's a problem. You know, that's a problem. That could be a problem in two. If they win this game, that could be a problem in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Is their inability to make those adjustments.
Yeah. No, Sean McVay is a terrible coach when it comes to making halftime adjustments, and that's why Kyle Shanahan, even though I'm not a 49er fan, has proved to be the better coach every time they've played because look at January 9th. His team was down 17-0, and he obviously went into the locker room and made the proper adjustments because a different San Francisco team showed up in the second half. So if L.A. jumps out to a big lead, don't get excited because if Kyle's allowed to make adjustments at halftime, it could be completely different in the second half.
Yeah, I would go along with that. I mean, it's, you know, and really if you're the Niners, you can't, even if, you know, if you fall back behind early, you can't feel bad about it.
No.
You know, because again, you were down 17-0 at, you know, at L.A. and then come back and win the game.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to that Bengals game. They're down 14-0, come back, win that game.
Yeah.
You know, and completely shut them down in that second half. I think, you know, the funny part about this season, man, is that every team in the playoffs last week, in the playoffs this week, has got a solid look at it. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
They've all got really good players, and they've all got flaws. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and
they've
and
all
no
got flaws. You could see either game going either way.
And no matter who we wind up with in 2 weeks for the Super Bowl, we're going to enjoy the game no matter who gets there.
Well, I won't enjoy it if Cincinnati's not there, but, you know.
Okay. Well, hey, you know what? I'd feel the same way, Eric, if the Raiders were in this position because, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, whoever won that Raiders-Cincinnati game was going to go into Tennessee and beat them. So I would feel the same way if I was in your shoes right now.
You know who the Cincinnati team reminds me of? Just the way the dice is rolling. You know, basically not the team itself, but just the way the dice is rolling. They remind me of that New England Patriots team that first year when they won the Super Bowl when they beat who did they beat? They beat the Rams, didn't they?
Yeah, they beat the Rams. Yep. Mhm. Yep.
That was that last second kickoff. That's what you remember, and that was when they played the Raiders, when the Patriots played the Raiders, and they got that call that shouldn't have been the call.
The Tuck rule game,
Tuck
rule game.
It just their whole season, their you know, in their postseason against the Raiders when they had that touchdown that shouldn't have been a touchdown.
Yeah, exactly.
It just kind of reminds me of this, you know?
As a Raider fan, I don't want to be reminded of many of these things.
Worry about it, because if the Niners make it to the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, we'll watch that 34-second John Taylor catch in the end zone. We'll see that on replay.
And Boomer Esiason, who was your quarterback back then, he still talks about that to this day. He says, I was 34 seconds away from getting a damn ring, and I never got one, you know?
Oh, I hated it. I hated it. Oh, man. Jerry Rice had a big game that year. But I'll tell you, we had an interception. I think it was Lewis Billups had an interception right there that stops that drive, and he dropped it. Ugh.
I know. What are you gonna do? I know. Yeah. Okay, man. What can I say? We broke it down as best we could, and thanks for the people contributing. That's awesome.
Absolutely. And so my pick is going to be the Bengals versus the Rams in the Super Bowl, and you have who? Kansas City?
I got the Chiefs and the Rams.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, guys. Well, I tell you what, it's going to be an exciting day tomorrow. Don't miss it. 3:00 and 6:30. This is my favorite. I tell you, Robert, this is my favorite weekend of the year. It really is. The best team. It's always like to me. Usually, the best games take place on this day on tomorrow. You know.
Yeah. No, I agree. And remember, for those of you that are looking for a ringside reporter, they're going to be on early. It'll be noon Eastern time. So we can get the boxing out of the way, so we can spend all day watching football. So.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll be on at 12 noon tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern time tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we'll get you guys out of here to watch the games and all that other good stuff. And we'll be doing the same thing on the Super Bowl as well.
That's correct.
That day, too, because nobody's going to be watching. They're all going to be watching the games. It just is, man. JC says, Eric, pick with your brain, not with your heart. I can't, man. I'm Cincinnati. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, son? I gotta take my boys, man. I can't go against my boys, man.
No. JC, I can't pick on him, because if the Raiders were in the same spot, I'd be doing the same thing. So.
The Go Mario P says, Joe Burrow can pull it off tomorrow, but I have a feeling he will come up short. So there you go, man. Hey, like I said, man, William Phillips says he's tired of the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl.
I am too. I don't mind being wrong if Kansas City loses. And I hate the Chiefs. As a Raider fan, I hate the Chiefs. But you know, I gotta call it like I see it. You know.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's. Any game, man, any one of these games can go either way. But I just got a feeling with the Bengals. I really do.
I think this is it.
All right, guys. Well, listen, man, thanks for joining us. And join us tomorrow at 12 noon. We'll talk about some boxing.
Ringside
Reporter. I'll be here with Joe Habib. Robbie will be here. So
that's right.
We'll catch you guys then. All right, guys. Have a good one. One second. All right, man, we're out.
That's great.
Yeah, that
I didn't know if people would actually show up, but that's great that they contributed. I thought that was, you know.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I mean, we figured, you know, like I said, I mean, Joe had one. I think Joe's, I don't know if Joe's still got one going on or what, but he's got one going on the channel, so just having two on the channel is really cool.
That's cool. Well, and I asked Joe yesterday, I said, are you going to come in and talk football? He said, no, man, I don't know enough about it. I'm a boxing guy. And I said, I don't blame you.
That's what he was telling me. Yeah, that's what he was telling me, too. I was like, you got to come in. He was like, I don't know anything about football. I was like, all right.
I don't know much about it either, but. He said, I don't want to embarrass myself because I'm knowledgeable when it comes to fights, but I don't know enough about football, so. You know?
Right. All right, man. I'm going to jump off here. I will catch
you
tomorrow.
Eric, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
All right, man.
Bye.
All right, I'll talk to you. All right.
All right.